Looking in 1 Corinthians, and we're beginning here in chapter 3, and I want to read verse 16 as we begin reading this chapter. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? And walk as men. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world's foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Now, Paul, of course, began this book to the Corinthians with the purpose of instructing them in that which is spiritual versus that which is carnal. Now, when a man is born again by the Spirit of God, he becomes a spiritual man. That does not mean, however, that he ceases to be a carnal man. It would be, in our estimation, so much simpler, would it not, if when we were born again, we just became spiritual men and carnality was left behind. Now, some denominations, teachers of I call false gospels, go out and they actually purport such a thing, that men become spiritual and then they're no longer carnal. But the truth of the matter is that the flesh of man does not change at all when he is born again. He's still the same old wicked man that he was when he came forth from his mother's womb. And he will continue to be that same old wicked man right up until the day that he dies and they put his body in the ground. And in the day of the resurrection, that body shall be put off and a spiritual body shall take its place. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, not as those who are spiritual mixed with carnality, but those who are spiritual. But in this point in time, we are indeed still wrestling and struggling day by day with carnality. And that's plainly set forth throughout the New Testament, as I see it, in the book of Romans, in the book of Galatians, in Ephesians. These things are set forth. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. They don't mix. Oil and water does not mix, and the flesh and the Spirit does not mix. Now, having said that, Paul is pointing out to these Corinthians that they are indeed new creatures, that they have been given the knowledge of God. Now, the man who's in the world and is not born again, he doesn't have any comprehension of spiritual things. Now, he may be religious. You see, a natural man can be naturally religious. You can teach people how to be religious. You can join up with any religion that you want. Pick one out and join it. You can do it. You can go join a church tomorrow somewhere and you can be a part of that and you can read books and learn how to be religious. Anybody can do that. But what Paul's talking about here to the Corinthians when he's talking about the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, there is a difference, however, between that man who is spiritually awakened by God, who has been born again by the Spirit of God and made a new creature in Christ, and that, between him and that man who is nothing but a carnal man. Because the carnal man, the Scripture says, these receive not a love of the truth that they might be saved. They can't be delivered because they've not received, that is, they've not been given a love of the truth. But you see, those who are in Christ, they have been given a love of the truth. That's what he just said there in verse 16 as we read that. But we have the mind of Christ. Now, does that mean that 24 hours a day we're sitting around thinking on spiritual things? No, why not? Because we're not purely spiritual creatures. But we are carnal creatures. We are moral creatures. We are creatures of flesh and blood. Now, if God was pleased to remove that from us, He would. Paul prayed to have the thorn in the flesh removed from whatever it was. Some have opined that he was praying to be delivered from his sinful flesh. I don't think that's actually what he was praying, but some have opined that. But in any event, if that was what he was praying, the truth of the matter is, the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And so the Lord's grace is sufficient for us as creatures who have been born again but are yet carnal in our natural state. Now, having said that, while the flesh has not changed one whit by the new birth, I mean, we still, the inclinations of our flesh are the same, are they not? If somebody reviles us, what do we want to do by nature? Revile them again. If somebody is take something from us, what do we want to do? We want to do something to them to get back at them. We don't like that. That's just the natural tendencies of man. But you see, the man who's born again by the Spirit of God, while he's not devoid of that natural inclination. He is constrained by the Spirit of God in his mind when these things are brought to his mind by the grace and mercy of God. Now, oft times, the Lord allows us, and I use that word kind of, I don't really particularly like that, because the Lord really doesn't allow things. He causes things, but in our way of understanding, we say the Lord allows us to go on our way from time to time to teach us a valuable lesson that we might learn what we are by nature. Because, you know, sometimes, like you mentioned, we might get to thinking about ourselves as maybe we're not quite as bad as we used to be or whatever. And the Lord will bring something past, and He'll make you aware, well, you know, really, no, I'm just like I always was. I ain't changed a bit, except for the mercy of God. That restrains us and constrains us. And so, when we exhort the people of God, we exhort them to reckon themselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Recognizing that we are still prone to carnality, but we are not carnal in the sense that there was a fellow by the name of Bill Bright, and I think he's found to be dead by now. He'd have to be 100 years old if he wasn't, but he probably is. But he came up with a little theory called, a little booklet called The Four Spiritual Laws. And I don't remember what they were, but anyway, it was a simplistic approach. If you do this, this, and this, and you're a child of God. Well, what happened is, people get, they think, well, if all I got to do is just say this prayer and I become a Christian, well, I'm a Christian. Well, he couldn't very well abandon his theory and say, well, no, you're really not, because he had said, well, this is what you got to do to become a Christian. So he developed what was called the carnal Christian theory. Now, that's not really a new thing, because that's been around for a long time. But in the measure in which he set it forth, he said that some Christians, you know, they're spiritual. But some Christians, they're just as much a Christian, even though, you know, all they've done is just said this prayer, but they got their name recorded in the book of life, but nothing really ever spiritual happened to them, and so they're just carnal Christians. Now, when Paul says to the Corinthians here, I speak unto you, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, he's not talking about the carnal Christian theory. He's not saying, now, some of you who have been born again are just carnal and you're not spiritual. There wouldn't be any point in even addressing them if that was the case. He's saying you're yet carnal in the sense that ye are yet walking in carnality. You're thinking about these things in a carnal way. And so he said, when you think about who it is that came preaching unto you, you think that whoever preached unto you had something to do with you coming to a place of understanding the things of God. And so you say, well, I like old preacher so-and-so, and so I'm gonna latch on to his shirt tail because he has really got the goods. And so I like him. And some of them were saying, well, no, we like old brother so-and-so better. Well, of course, in this case, it was Paul and Apollos. Now, Apollos was a great orator, and Paul was not. And so the contrast the Lord put there in their midst was this, to show them this thing, that the truth of God does not come to men through the wisdom of men or through great oration or through the ability of the speaker. That's not the manner in which God is pleased to communicate truth. Now, He may use that, and He does use that. And He does raise up men to be able to teach and do those things. But the error in carnal thinking is that really makes a big difference in whether or not a man can come to an understanding of spiritual things. Because it doesn't have any meaning at all. Because God doesn't need that. And so He said to them, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He says, you're like babies. He says, you're just walking, just taking baby steps. Look, when I was a child, Paul said, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, this is the place that we come, and Paul comes to them speaking from. This is the thing. He said, look. He said, you're not like some little ignorant babies walking around out here that don't know any better than this. Because you've been taught, and the Spirit of God has given you the mind of Christ. What on earth are you walking around out here like a bunch of babies? And saying, well, oh, I like this one, or I like that one, and then causing division among yourselves over such foolish stuff. You see, carnal likes and dislikes will divide people. And if we dwell upon those things and allow those things to be the basis upon which our likes and our dislikes are the things that would bring us together, we'd be just like the Corinthians here that he's addressing. It's not these things, dear brethren. It's not how we regard carnal things. But it is that which is of the Lord. He said, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. He said, I'm taking baby steps here. I'm going back to the first principle, just like he talks to the Galatians. He says, I'm in doubt of some of you. He said, I was among you and I preached the truth and you embraced it and now you've gone back to the old ways. He says, I'm in doubt as to whether or not you ever came to a knowledge of the truth at all. And so he says to them here, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. He said, I've walked along here with baby steps teaching you some things, but he says, I'm tired of it. He says, I want you to wake up and smell the coffee. I mean, it's time to realize who you are in Christ and quit acting like a bunch of babies. Now, if you are indeed carnal, you're carnal. If you've not been born again, but he said, look, the Spirit of God is teaching his people, and he is teaching his people. And the person that is not growing in grace is studied. I mean, something's wrong there, isn't it? I mean, if you've got a child and he's not putting on weight or he's not growing or whatever, you'd take him to the doctor. Would you not? Same thing is true spiritually. Now, growing spiritually doesn't mean that we no longer sin. Or we get to a place where we're growing out of it. That's not what it means. But it does mean that our thought process is changing, does it not? How we think about things. Those things which we know to be of value. Now, it may be difficult for us yet to embrace it. I mean, we know we need to forgive our enemies. We read that in the Word of God. We would not, if we are spiritually minded, we would not argue the fact that we ought to forgive one another. Lock, stock, and barrel, across the board, no questions asked. We know that, don't we? I mean, the Lord said, if a man sues you at the law to take away your coat, give him your cloak also. He said, if he smites you on the right cheek, turn to him the left. I mean, that's pretty straightforward, is it not? Who would argue with that? Who would say, well, Lord, we don't want to do that. We don't think that's right. We know that's right, don't we? And so as we grow in grace, we know those things to be true. By the grace of God, He causes us to recognize and put those things into practice to some measure. Now, we'll never like it. You'll never get to the point where you like that. You know, when somebody wrongs you, you'll never get to the point where you say, man, I'm glad you did that because I was just looking for an opportunity. No, it won't ever be easy. Why? Because the flesh lusteth against the spirit. And it's telling you, don't you do that. You need to stake your stand right here. And buddy, you need to, you know, to show yourself here. It's always going to be telling you that. It's never going to be easy. But by the grace of God, He teaches, He enables us by the working of the Spirit of God as He works in us both the will and to do of His good pleasure. There is a growth in the spiritual understanding and application of the things of God. Now, He said, neither yet now are ye able. Because He said, what you're doing is acting like a bunch of babies. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Now, should there be envying, strife, and divisions among God's people? Cannot the weakest of God's children answer that question? Of course we can. No, there should not be strifes and divisions among God's people. When there are strifes and divisions among God's people, it's indicative of two things. Of one of two things. Either they are not God's people, or they're walking carnally. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it, is there? I mean, that's what He's saying to them. He said, I've told you this stuff. And He said, this isn't deep. I mean, when the Lord said, forgive your enemies, that's not deep, is it? I mean, is that deep? No, that's not deep. That's just the basic stuff. He says, I'm just talking to you in baby terms here. Are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? What would motivate you to do that? Would a view that it's the work of the Spirit alone that causes the Word of God to prosper, would that ever cause you to think like that? No. So if you think like that, guess what? It's arising out of carnality. For while one saith, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? So who is Paul? Who is he? He said. What am I? He says, I'm an apostle, but so what? Big deal. It doesn't carry any weight with it in the kingdom of God. It's not some thing that we hone in on and grab a hold of somebody because of that. Who then is Paul? And who's Apollos? What are we? He said, we're not anything. He said, we're just ministers, but we're ministers by whom ye believe. Those we were those who brought the message to you that the Lord showed you and you believed. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? I mean, it pleases the Lord to bring the message. You see, life and immortality are brought to light in the gospel. Life is not brought by the gospel, but life and immortality are brought to light. That is, it's a thing where men are enabled to see it. I mean, when Peter stood and preached on the day of Pentecost, did Peter save those folks? No, he just delivered a message of salvation to them that the Scripture says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed it. I mean, that was what happened there. So who was Peter? Oh, the Lord would have just closed up shop if he hadn't had Peter. No. If he hadn't had Peter, he'd have raised up somebody else. He'd just done, he does whatever he wants to do. And if they wasn't, if Peter or nobody else was there, he'd have raised up a stone. And the stone would have said, you know, this is the truth. But it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But it's not through the preacher. See, a lot of people don't get that distinction there. When he says it's through the foolishness of preaching, he didn't say it's through the foolishness of the preacher. Because the preacher is immaterial. It's the message. You see, it's the Word of God. It's the truth of God. Who is then Paul or Apollos, but except ministers, even as the Lord gave to every man? Because the Lord is the one that gives this. And if He doesn't give it, it doesn't make a difference who the messenger is. Because you see, this is a message that's not delivered by men. It's delivered by the power of God. Oh, man might be the mouthpiece through which the words are spoken, but you see, their words will fall on deaf ears apart from the grace of God and the work of it. And so Paul lays this out, and he is plainly setting it forth in no uncertain terms so that they can't mistake it. He said, if you're thinking this way, you're carnal and not spiritual.